The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stefan Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. And today, I don't think we really have a content warning, but there is some grossness that happens that we're talking about. And it's internet grossness that you probably know exists if you've been someone on the internet who's from any intersectionality and marginalized community. We are going to be talking about that, including some quotes that I find very infuriating, but nothing too in-depth. Because today we're talking about Reddit.
Oh, Reddit.
Yes, and we're doing kind of, it wasn't planned, but we have a lot of technology-based episodes coming up.
It's kind of how our minds go from, we should talk about this, to this, and this. And all of these subjects need an episode in itself because it's too big. They are very different platforms, but they affect women and marginalized communities pretty deeply. So yeah, we had to.
Yeah. And one thing I've found in researching this is, you know, there are those problems that wouldn't surprise you that exist on all of them, but they are distinct, which is interesting.
Right.
So I wanted to ask you, Samantha, what is your experience with Reddit?
It is, so if I had to put a percentage, I probably mess with it about 10% of its utilities, I guess you can say. And I say this in that I never had a Reddit account. I don't even know how to work Reddit. And I say this as, yes, it sounds like I am an aged boomer. But the problem about Reddit for me is I don't understand the way it stacks. So you get the original post and then the comments, and you can't just search from what I gather. So it's very, very foreign concept to me. I do enjoy the concept of it because I can learn about Reddit posts through other platforms. So typically how I read Reddit posts is through Twitter, someone that brings it about and be like, hey, look at this Reddit post. And I'm like, okay, cool. And or for my partner, who is an enthusiast when it comes to Reddit, has probably known more about it than anything, has a lot of things that they love about it, and will show me posts, will save posts for me when it comes to dog videos that are cute, fun laughs. So that there's a thing about like contagious laughter.
Oh, yeah.
There's a whole channel. Like, he loves that. Mm-hmm. So he'll send me things like that. But I've also heard so many horror stories that I'm like, no, I'm not going to mess with that. I don't want to know. There are a few that I will, like, I have subscribed to. And then we're going to talk about it. But I do follow the Am I the Asshole Reddit Twitter feed so that I can read that way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that is the depth of my Reddit experience. What about you?
Yeah, I'm similar. I've always had a hesitance around Reddit, even though I have friends who are women who love it. And it's kind of a running joke that they're always like, I saw this on Reddit, or today I checked this thread on Reddit. But I've always been hesitant about it because of some of the things we're going to talk about, some of which has been overblown and some of which has not. And I remember when I first was working on the Stuff Mom Never Told You YouTube channel, they asked me, like, you should go post in Reddit. And I was like, I don't know anything about Reddit. But I can tell you, as someone who doesn't have a Reddit account, if I just come in as a company, you can't even post it unless you have enough karma points, by the way. It's not going to look good. It's not going to look good for me. It's not going to look good for us. So we're not going to do it. And we didn't do it.
That means you're posing as a
right,
Reddit person.
Exactly.
Yeah. Did you know there is a Reddit thread about Stuff Mom Never Told You?
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So I found it a while ago when I was researching everything. It just kind of, the one I found, so genuinely, like, not mean. It was just about the changing of hosts, and it just updates.
Oh, okay.
As that it changes, it seems. I did see a few people comment about why, what's happening. So people trying to answer questions. Uh-huh. I didn't linger for long because I was scared.
Oh, wow. Listeners, let us know. We should check that out. Which, speaking of, again, forever ago, when Bridget and I did those episodes on fan fiction, a bunch of you wrote in and said there are fan fiction communities on Reddit, which surprised me, but actually pretty thriving fan fiction communities. I have read fan fiction on Reddit when I was younger, in my early fan fiction days, and I read the scariest.
Oh, they post it on Reddit?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, and people can, I think there's collections there and people post, but I read one that was a Silent Hill 2 fan fiction, and it's legitimately one of the scariest things I ever read, and I never went back. I was like, nope. Scared
oh,
me
really?
So badly.
Okay, kudos to that author then.
I know. And kudos is the thing you give to authors that you like on AO3.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm so hip.
You
y'all.
Are so hip.
I
indeed.
Feel like I just completely decimated that thought with that, me saying it out loud.
No,
okay,
no,
I quit
no,
now.
No, no. I do also know, because of one of said friends, that she'll always update me on her, there's a Last of Us 2 hate Reddit. She'll update me on that.
Oh, no.
And she also, I've told you this, Samantha, she hates onions.
Yes.
And she's on like a I Hate Onions Reddit subreddit. And one time it was infiltrated by people who love onions. And that's one of my very favorite things.
There's a lot of battles, it seems, on Reddit.
Yes. And from what I gather, a lot of it is kind of done in fun. Eclectic was a word I saw a lot. Spirit. So I believe these pro-onion people, it was in good fun, I hope. And then also, fan fiction again. There is a popular trope in fan fiction where, like, your favorite fictional characters will use modern-day technologies. And so I've read a few that are Am I the Ass, but with Star Wars characters. So one is, like, Darth Vader being, my son was being
funny.
Particularly annoying, so I cut off his hand. Am I the Ass, something like that.
Okay. I know that they have a huge following. As in fact, there are podcasts that are made up just to read off give verdicts to post off of Am I the Ass. So whoever started that is a genius.
Yes. And we are, as you said, going to be talking about a lot of that. We have some examples because there's interesting things. And this was one of the reasons it was your idea to talk about this is it's kind of spotlighted a lot of our still latent sexism and especially heterosexual relationships. So get ready for that.
Be pumped about that.
Yes. But before we get into that, let's break down some of the basics here. So a brief explainer on Reddit, which is called the front page of the internet. And it's called that because you read it on Reddit, which I never
knew that. Never. Wow.
That makes me feel better because I was like,
Nope. Just knew it. Never. It's kind of one of those games that you play when you have that, you know, they don't actually spell it out, but the sounds and you're supposed to figure out the sentence. Yep. That's this level. I would have never thought that.
Yep. Same. Reddit was founded by three University of Virginia students in 2005. Steve Huffman, Alexis Ohanian, with Aaron Schwartz. And I put with because his role is disputed. And there's a lot of drama. If we were a different podcast, we could break down, but we are not that podcast. But if you want to look it up, so much drama in the leadership of Reddit. Oh my goodness. A year later, it was acquired by Condé Nast, although I did read that they used a lot of fake accounts to make it look like it was more used than it actually was.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, its value has skyrocketed since then. And if you are unaware, it's essentially a huge depository of forums where people can post content and comment and vote on other people's posts, upvote or downvote. It's divided into over a million specific communities or forums called subreddits, which are labeled as r/whatever topic. And these subreddits can cover pretty much anything. And we're talking like niche stuff, like this onion thing I mentioned, right. Like very, very niche. But also, as discussed in the past episodes, things like men's rights activist users and content, the red pill. So we've talked about Reddit quite a bit on here, just never specifically. Certain criteria must be met in order to create a subreddit. Basically, you have to have a fairly active account that's over 30 days old and a certain number of karma points determined by upvotes and downvotes. But apparently, the exact number is a Reddit secret, which I'm like, how is that? Okay.
I was even biased.
I know. I'm like, These subreddits are managed by volunteer moderators, also called mods. They can control various appearance aspects of a subreddit and the content that is allowed, even removing some or banning users. The whole thing is managed by Reddit employees called admins that can ban users, demote mods, and even get rid of whole subreddits. A lot of Reddit terminology comes in abbreviations, and some of the big ones you may have heard. And some of them that we're going to dig into more are AMA, Ask Me Anything, and AITA, or Am I the Ass? But it's just like so many.
There's a lot. Yes. And I don't understand them. And I have to sit there and stare at them going, okay, what could this sentence be?
Yes.
Yeah. So the Ask Me Anything, I didn't know. I knew the AMA part. I didn't know that's what
really?
It meant. Just so you know.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't know Reddit. And the only time I ever see this are when celebrities get on and people are super excited or like authors and that, which sounds like a great idea. It seems like a really smart thing. But I know there's been a lot of trouble where they've had to shut things down.
Yeah.
That's a whole different conversation. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It's often used for philanthropic fundraisers. And a lot of the users love it, calling it fun, eccentric place to share content. And I've heard that. But like everything, Reddit is not without its issues, and we've talked about it before, one that we're not going to really get into today, but we've discussed in brief before, is internet vigilantism, data collection. Huffman once said Reddit knows the dark secrets of its users, and it was later discovered he'd hidden Russian troll activity on the site, which is a concern right now for a lot of these platforms. During the 2020 George Floyd protest, 800 moderators called for the banning of the sexist and racist subreddits and hate speech. And in June of that year, they banned somewhere around 2,000 subreddits, including the subreddit r/gendercritical, the largest TERF subreddit. Some of the bans drew complaints around censorship, especially politically. Just this year, the company banned the word groomer when used as a slur against LGBTQ plus folks. They also introduced AI tools to find hate speech, but posters have found ways around it, which is hard to keep up with. In 2021, Ultraviolet, which a friend of the show, Bridget Todd, works with closely, found Reddit had a C on the sexism report card, and this was the highest grade of the social media platforms they surveyed, which makes me sad.
Yeah, it was it was not pretty. It was not pretty at all.
A C. Yay, passing.
Yeah.
But to be fair, and again, I say this with like, because this is also part of the conversation we were having in talking about doing this episode. Reddit seems like a fairly better space for women to get sound advice, because we talked about them during the rebels of the abortion movement.
Mm-hmm.
More so than some of the other platforms. But yeah, see? Damn.
Yeah. And you should look it up, listeners, if you haven't seen it, because it breaks down by category and then averaged out. So C was the average, and it got an F in other, like, in specific categories, but, like, C overall.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money, so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. And this gets kind of complicated because there's been a lot of phases of this, so we're going to jump around a little bit, but beginning in 2014, Reddit enacted policies banning harassment, involuntary sexualization, and banned several forums focused on bigotry or harassment, including subreddits targeting gay, fat, and Black people. Notably, this happened under the extremely controversial and short-lived leadership of Ellen Pao, and whoa, is there a lot of drama around that? Depending on what you read, she is either an absolute dictator or a scapegoat who did her best, but it cannot be denied there was a lot of sexist talk around her, and she received rape and death threats while she was serving this position. A lot of discussion around free speech and censorship happened under her. Basically, the guy she was serving for as interim, he went on Reddit and, like, let loose. and you can read all of his comments about it. But he was basically like she was in a bad position. She wasn't the one to blame for all of these problems everyone had, and leadership who was to blame should have come forward and said that, and they didn't. And I know people are still mad about it, but essentially that's the vibe I got. That's definitely what he said. Because a lot of this happened around the alleged... No, I mean, somebody was a very popular Reddit employee was fired, and she was a woman, and people blamed Ellen Powell, but according to what I've read, it was not her decision. But that didn't stop the higher-ups from letting her take the blame. So that's a bigger thing. But I did find that interesting because so many things popped up about it when I was researching this. And after hashtag MeToo r/incels was taken down in late 2017, at the time, people on this subreddit were arguing that rape is just sex, but also that reverse rape, men who wanted sex but weren't having it, should be a part of the discussion around Me Too. A member posed as a woman in a legal advice subreddit to try to get advice for getting away with rape. And this whole thing spawned r/incel tears, which tracks incel extremism. And I think we've talked about that before, but I know some of my friends read that one. In 2018, the company introduced new policies to minimize harassment, including hiding posts, messages, and comments from selected users, as well as new guidelines around banning content that called for violence.
All right.
Didn't 4chan come off of Reddit? Essentially, they were banned from that, so they started their own?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I know we talked about it before when we talked about incels. Mm-hmm. So, you know, kind of good, I guess. Not that 4chan exists, but that they're not on Reddit. But yeah, that's a whole different conversation again. According to some resources, Reddit was the 7th most popular website in 2021 and the 19th most popular globally. In 2018, they were getting about 110 million users monthly. So it's inspired other sites like Imgur, I don't know how to say this. However, an estimated 74% of the Reddit users are actually men. Though it's predominantly left-leaning and young, which surprises me. Less than 19% are right-leaning and only 1% are over 65, which again, yeah. As a 47-year-old, I don't touch that.
This is one of those things that makes sense when I thought about it. But when Again, I think it's because bad actors get so much news media and they're so bad that I'm afraid to use Reddit because of them, even if they're
right.
even if they're a small subset, that I just had this assumption that there was going to be a lot more right-leaning people. But it does make sense because, well, some things we're going to talk about. So we did want to focus specifically on some of the issues that women and other intersectionalities and marginalized communities face on Reddit, starting with moderators. So in the wake of Me Too, some moderators and subs like r/banfemalehate really tackled banning sexist content on Reddit, including first-time mods. So maybe they were joining because of this. Subreddits like r/abusedsluts, r/rapingwomen, r/againstwomensrights, and r/deadlyerotica were things that they found and raised their hand about. There's r/motherdaughter, which is a subreddit dedicated to posting pictures of mothers and daughters and describing what the poster would like to do to them sexually. There's another where men create AI girlfriends, are mean to them, and then post about it on Reddit. There's Tributes Delivered, which is basically messaging women and underage girls with unsolicited pictures they'd masturbated and ejaculated on, and then posting pictures of that, yeah. Many of these have had hundreds of thousands of followers. But these mods, who again are volunteers, report being overwhelmed by the emotional toll. And a lot of the mods fighting the sexism are women, and a lot of them end up leaving. Mods have also reported feeling ignored and unsupported by the company when they do raise concerns or flag material, so it feels kind of hopeless, almost. And on top of that, they don't have a great record outside of the Anglosphere or English-speaking world of controlling hate speech, to say the least. The company says it's aiming to combat this by hiring more non-English speakers, amongst other things. Many have spoken out about how the unpaid moderator model has its limits, leading to further extremism. And it is worth noting that when a subreddit is banned, the Redditors often migrate to another subreddit, or maybe even another website. But there is a really big vibe of, you know, you don't like it, you can leave. And here we're getting into some of the comments. So just, if that's not your thing today, I understand. So here's an example of the comments some women mods reported receiving. I want you to get cancer because I want to see your own body killing you. I want you to get cancer, your mother, sister, brother, father, grandparents. I want them all to get cancer. And when they open their mouths, I want to piss in them. I f-ing hate you. You nasty, disgusting slut. The Engadget article that included this quote disclosed that every mod they interviewed for this piece had received a death threat. Every one of them.
Right, right. And I don't know. And I guess we can look about it, but like Reddit in itself, how does it make money? I mean, do you know?
I think they make it burst. So Reddit has tiers. They have one tier where you pay. They have advertising.
Yeah, because I'm wondering about for the moderators, like for TikTok creators and Instagram creators who have big followings, they make money. Do the Redditors make money like that?
I would love if somebody wrote in and let us know. I don't think so.
Let us know if you're a big Reddit poster. Katie, let us know. Is it possible to get money like that? I don't know. I know, you were saying that you can make ads. You can pay for the ads that are on the side, which I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. But I'm wondering how it works for those who have a viral content or get... because I know people follow each other on Reddit too, right? Like, you're like, you may not know their name, but you follow this one person because you like what they're doing or something, and links to their other social media sites, which I've never seen people put Reddit's... the Reddit handles when they're just advertising that I'm on other platforms.
Yeah.
I don't have to think about it. Here's another disgusting thing. Y'all ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest things that you'll come across when researching women's sexism and Reddit is something called creep shots. Sexual images taken of women and posted without their knowledge. And similarly, nude photos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some of these images are uploaded and sold again without consent. There have been some high-profile cases, too. In 2014, there was a large leak of nude pictures of women celebrities posted non-consensually. And a couple of years later, Reddit shut down a subreddit posting deep fakes, which is a horrifying thought because, oh my God, of women in porn. Some revenge videos have been posted and monetized without the women's consent, which still is a conversation because it's still not been fully addressed. This trade in nudes is called collector culture. There's a horror movie about that, folks.
Yes.
And many of these pictures often come with personal information like social media handles and addresses. Holy crap.
Yeah, it's gross and scary. Okay, so this brings us to, am I the asshole? Reddit is kind of famous for hosting a lot of so-called nice guys. And, you know, that's the guy who claims he's so nice. He does everything right. Why are women denying me in a romantic relationship? And then everyone's like, you're terrible.
Yeah, because you're demanding someone like you because you're seemingly nice. But if you have to say you're nice,
yeah,
probably not true.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like that's part of what I had. And again, I have friends who are women who love Reddit. This is just like my outsider. I don't know, for some reason I thought this, but I was like, oh, that's where the nice guys go. And yeah. I feel like, am I the ass? Has become a lot of calling that out.
Right.
And we have a lot of examples for it. Okay, so from a Guardian article about a man in his 30s who frequented the red pill. So we're going to go through some of these am I the ass post and oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. All right. So here's the quote. Morpheus Manfred, having spent my 20s looking for female companionship, I noticed that the dating game wasn't what I was taught, what my parents prepared me for, and what I learned from movies. It was stacked against guys, and it was a very unpleasant experience. Over the past 10 years, the flakiness of women has gotten worse. You'd meet a girl, hit it off, get her number, and agree to date, and either she'd no-show or cancel right before. I found myself putting in all this effort for nothing. It was very defeating. It's not the way courting worked when my parents met. What I saw in movies where having a good heart and being yourself is all you need, that's not what happens now. Good and nice guys aren't attractive anymore. The manosphere fundamentally became a surrogate father for the life lessons I never got. So this
manosphere.
This actually was not from Am I the Asshole? They were interviewing people about why did you get involved in this manosphere space? And so this was a quote from this user about it. And it was an interesting article because some people made the point like maybe, you know, a lot of these dudes just need the sounding board to get it off their chest and move on. But a lot of them don't. And that's something that we've talked about before. Right. And this whole like overall mindset, like maybe, yeah, you just say that and get it off your chest and move on. But I feel like what we're talking about here is a bigger problem of how we think society should function and where women, the roles women should play.
Right. And then also the ones that will play those roles don't meet your expectations because of A, B, and C that you have placed upon that. That's a whole different conversation, but yes.
Yes. Yes. And so like this whole idea has gotten intertwined with Am I the Asshole? And that is one of the reasons, as we said, we wanted to talk about this because that subreddit is so popular and it has taken off. And as you said, it's got podcasts and Twitter handles and it, all the time I'm hearing like, did you see this? And Am I the Asshole? And as I said, it's really highlighted a lot of sexism going on, and perhaps particularly in hetero relationships. And basically, yeah, if you haven't heard of it, it's a forum where people post problems or disagreements they've had with others and ask if they're the villain in the story. Like, am I being unreasonable? Or is the other person or party being unreasonable?
Again, this is one of the only things that I look at when I'm looking at Reddit. And typically, I'll look at it through Twitter and or, again, a podcast that pops up from TikTok. My God, everything's interspliced, isn't it?
Yeah.
But then I will go and check it out and see what the comments are saying. Typically, if they have comments coming back, like there's some that's like really entertaining. That's where Jorts the Cat came from, if you follow them on Twitter, who is a union-loving, a radical cat. Fantastic. But it started off with the fact that the coworker wanted to butter the cat. And again, if you haven't read it, you should. I remember when it first came out and everybody was on Twitter just losing their mind because they're like, this has to be fake. This has to be fake. Mm-hmm. And to that point, like Jorts has now like thousands and thousands of followers and is getting into fights with people. And they also had a problematic issue just recently. But hey, that's a whole different conversation. It has all of these aspects to that. But then you have the ones that are super serious. To the point that people were like, oh, yo, you're going to get murdered. Leave. How these posts go is literally it goes me, and then they give their age and their gender, my husband or my partner, age, gender, it explains the story. You can write asshole, not the asshole. You're both assholes, kind of the asshole kind of thing, or this other person is the asshole. Like they give you these options, which is nice. And then you explain things. But this one woman that I read through was like really horrifying, the fact that her husband's younger brother was very codependent on them, very needy, and there was something kind of off. Turned out he was peeing on her stuff. We're pretty sure he abused the cat, all these things. And then they found his, like he got kicked out and everybody felt sorry for him. The mother felt sorry for him. Like the mother was enabling this younger brother and everybody was like, you don't need to worry. It's not a big deal. Then later on, they find her picture posted in his room with like all these marks on it. And like he had collected and stolen things from her with intent that he was going to hurt her. And then somewhere along the lines, a niece came in, a young niece, like preteen niece came in the picture. And he was like, everybody was like, okay, yeah, there's something wrong with this guy. And this woman would come back with follow-ups and updates about it. And then the last thing we find out is that he has been given a restraining order. There was a huge fight, and he is now under supervision because people were seriously scared. And I think the cat didn't make it. Like, it was this whole thing. I was very upset. I think people were so upset. Oh. But you have serious things like this, and a majority of the Am I the Ass posts are about relationships, as you said, and a lot of it has like in-law relationships, sister relationships. One of those was like talking about the fact that a sister-in-law, God, there was a lot of in-laws, was making fun of the husband that was the in-law, who was a chef, and she's a chef, and he's an Asian chef, and she went in was making racist comments about him being an Asian chef to the point that she got fired because like she worked at a Chinese, like I think she worked at an Asian fusion restaurant. Oof. And she was making fun of Asian cooks. So it was like oh, damn. And she was not Asian. I think she was white from the Post. And it divided the entire family. Apparently, the parents got divorced because the mother was enabling. Like, it was, or the father was enabling the child. And that's where the racist, like, came from, where racism was learned from, I guess. Like, it was a whole thing. It went, it just killed their relationship. But you have advice in columns like that. But a lot of these are women coming and asking about advice about their relationships and whether or not, oftentimes, am I being cheated on? Is it kind of the conversation and about emotional affairs? It's a whole thing. But what I've repeatedly seen is like the fact that they will write these posts and people's automatic is like, you're not the ass, but you need to leave because he is awful. These are red flags. This is not going to change. These are things, blah, 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 to the point like, yeah, all of the answers are typically, yeah, you're not the ass. Get a divorce. Get a divorce. Get a divorce. And but some of these have been really empowering because a lot of the women come back with, thank you so much for your advice. This really helped me see some things. I didn't really, you know, think about this. And you're right. This is going to be a bad thing and I need to leave. Like, it was just a whole thing. And the reason you and I were talking about Reddit to begin with is because I've been seeing more and more where women are coming to find a crew of people to tell them what they can't see for themselves in the middle of that situation. And it's seemingly fairly empowering, especially the way they're having this conversation and really, hopefully, rectifying the situation. Of course, there's others where, like, the partners have seen it and they respond, and that's a whole drama in itself. Ooh.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm heartened to know that it's mostly people being like, hey, you should get out, instead of, you know, a lot of the victim blaming stuff we see all the time. And I'm not saying, you know, every post is the same, but, you know, because I would hate for somebody to be in a vulnerable situation and you're getting all these internet people making it worse. So I'm happy to hear that it's...
Typically, it's not. I've not seen that as of yet.
Mm-hmm.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire. With the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. We do have some examples that we want to go over. Oh my goodness. Okay, so here's a quote from Medium about this whole thing. It, being Am I the Asshole, is a microcosm of gendered entitlement, the story of American sexism told post by post. There's the guy furious with his girlfriend for dressing up for a work Zoom because how dare she look nice for anyone but him. The husband who wants to forbid his wife from breastfeeding in public. The man who is mad that his wife, who has just given birth, doesn't dress sexy anymore. And of course, the one who feels betrayed that his wife keeps her own savings account. There's the man who needs complete silence from his stay-at-home wife and two toddlers while he works from home because, quote, it's her job to be silent and shut the kids up. The husband who refuses to do any domestic work at all because his wife isn't asking nicely enough. He also seems to think his wife has a natural predilection for thankless activity. She doesn't really rest, he wrote. That's not her thing. The guy who wants his girlfriend to sell her house because she bought it with money she earned while stripping. And the man who walked out, literally, on his wife when she got an ovarian cancer diagnosis. I had begged her to have kids since we were 26, but she refused for her career, he wrote, as a justification for storming out of the doctor's office. It's not just the stories themselves and how obviously awful they are that stand out. What makes Am I the Asshole such a special look into gender dynamics is that the men who describe awful scenarios truly don't believe they've done anything wrong. Sexism has fully lulled them into a sense of moral superiority that blinds them to their own explicitly terrible behavior.
Yes. And a lot of these, when you read it, are like, this has to be made up. Please tell me this is made up, because you're really that blind to see it this way. We had one where the woman was getting married, picked out a dress. His mother, because there's a lot of in-law stuff. His mother didn't like it and picked out another one and asked her to get that one. And his excuse was, she doesn't have a daughter.
Oh,
you should
wow.
let her choose.
Oh, wow.
And then she said, no, this is my dress. I love it. And behind her back, he took it and exchanged it for the one that his mother picked out.
Oh.
And couldn't figure out why she thought it was a big deal.
Wow. Well, mm-hmm.
Yes. So here's another example outside of that one from Salon, quote, a poster named Away Performer on the popular Am I the Asshole, AITA, subreddit complained that his neighbor wouldn't cook dinner for him, which, by the way, I did read this, after explaining that he's a 31-year-old single guy who doesn't know how to cook. Away went on to write that he has noticed that his neighbor, a woman named Katie, cooks frequently and, quote, it always smells amazing. So I got the idea, this is him, that I'd offer to give her some money each week to cook a little extra and bring it over to me, he continues. Unsurprisingly, Katie said no, but Away was undeterred, asking, quote, if she was sure and upping the amount I was offering. Until Katie realized the polite deferrals weren't getting the job done, she said, I should get a housekeeper if that's what I want. I remember seeing this and it was hilarious that he kept defending this.
What a thing to ask somebody. Should cook
asking
for me.
Once, maybe, be like, hey, can I pay you? Because yeah. It smells awesome. But then to continue as if like, that one no should have made it awkward and you should never want to see her again and you should hide.
Yeah, exactly.
Like never, like try to avoid her at all cost.
Mm-hmm.
Never leave the house again.
And the interesting thing about this one, this whole article from Salon was about specifically cooking and ideas men seem to have around women and cooking. And it included quotes from women on other subreddits about how their boyfriends expect them to cook or gave up cooking after they got married. Like perhaps they had cooked before marriage and then stopped after they got married. One Redditor told his girlfriend, I honestly wouldn't mind having a housewife and that she should do that because she is, quote, certainly not stupid, but isn't quite on my level.
Mm.
Ooh. On top of that, many of these posts showcase that men expect women to cook from a young age, but to their standards and desires. So like not what the woman who is cooking wants. They want you to cook. The men want you to cook what the men want, which I have witnessed before in my life. The article also cited a study that found that married women do more domestic work than single women, despite the fact that they have a partner who, in theory, should be shouldering half the weight. And yes, even women with jobs and even women who are the only ones in relationship with jobs.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Another quote from the article, quote, perhaps the most boneheaded was the Redditor who up top denies that he is a, quote, sexist asshole, but is mad because his wife, a stay-at-home mother of two who did not think it romantic that he enrolled her in, quote, into a couple's cooking course with me as an anniversary present so she could, quote, learn to cook properly.
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
There was also one about, like, bringing up his mother, and she, like comparing, yeah, and her nagging. Oh, it was a whole thing.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's another quote. One Redditor who wrote in, who was clearly excited to be engaged to a woman who loves to cook and cares a lot about health, so she makes a lot of stuff from scratch that we both eat, and, quote, her place is super nice, while his is a mess. But when he swung by her place one day, quote, to take some leftovers from home for lunches, he discovered, to his outrage, my girlfriend has a cleaning lady she never told me about. He unleashed on her, saying, I felt betrayed because I always thought it was great that I was marrying someone super tidy to balance it out, by which he means to clean up after him. And even though she tried to placate him by saying it frees up more time to cook stuff from scratch, he was furious that she hired someone to do something she could do herself. Mm-hmm. Luckily, the other Redditors called him out, saying, this sounds like you were getting married to get yourself a maid.
No. No.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. And yeah, as you said, from these articles I read about it and all these instances we're highlighting that had links and you could follow, many of the comments do rightly call out these men.
Yeah, question. I will say, like, I don't know if it's just the way it's set up or what, but the majority of the people who are voting and are commenting are those who are in support of typically the right, meaning whoever's obviously the asshole. You can kind of see it. There's some that's like, they could both be the asshole here, like communication issues or whatever, whatnot. But for the most part, and again, like, the things that are posted on Twitter are not always the things that are posted, because they have tons of entries, by the way, tons and tons and tons. Mm-hmm. So it's good to see that, though. I'm like, oh, yes. Because a lot of these, like, the minute you read it, your blood boils and you're ready to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Fight somebody. Oh, and all the memes that come out of these and gifs.
Okay.
Chef's kiss.
Okay. And then in a similar vein to all of this, here's a quote from a She Knows article. One Redditor opened up about this process, sharing that her extremely hygienic, more on that later, partner was horrified by the period underwear she keeps on deck for when she's bleeding each month and insisted she throw them out. Quote, he came across one of my pairs of panties that I specifically only wear during that time of the month. I am certain ladies will understand that we keep panties separate for periods than we do for when we aren't. AKA, I have my ugly or maybe bloodstained pairs for my period and my cute and well-kempt ones for when I'm not on my period. Anyways, upon seeing these, he told me that I need to throw that pair away and that it's disgusting and unhygienic. He made quite a few comments about how gross they are despite them being clean, but just bloodstained from a previous period spotting situation. She went on to say that when she tried to explain that these are cleaned, if a little stained, pairs that exist for the express reason of getting stained, think a t-shirt you wear for painting the house or doing yard work, he responded poorly and made her feel terrible. He also tried to claim that he was pretty sure other girls, people with periods, don't do that.
Oh, he needs to be single forever. Just to be single. Especially, you know, if you're dating women. I found it funny because there was another post similar to this, not exactly, where she had gone on a first or second date, new dates. She'd gotten on her period, so she needed a tampon. So she used, you know, her applicator. She put it in, I believe she put it in her, and wrapped it up. You know, if you've used a tampon, you know what I'm talking about. You put it back in the wrapper, and if you're embarrassed, you hide it because you try to do all the things, and then you throw it in the trash can. Apparently, the dude dug in his trash can, found it, and told her that she was not welcome, and that she should not have put that in her in his trash can.
Oh my gosh.
And she was like, what?
Yeah.
And he was upset that she threw away in the trash can.
Oh my gosh.
Properly. Also, he went and dug through it. That's the whole thing.
I feel like a lot of these are showcasing
the stupidity of men.
Well, yeah, but also how much, like,
generalized statement.
Men, women are expected to hide, like, everything. We're expected to hide how much work it takes to do something. We're expected to hide these totally normal body functions. We're expected to put up with your the dude's mom wanting this dress, and that means that you don't matter in this equation, even though it's your dress. Like, I feel like there's so much stuff where it's like, what you want doesn't matter, and hide from me anything that I don't want to see.
Right. I mean, there's a lot that you're like, wow, you really thought this was real life. Who really thinks that this is what happens? Like, you really want the Disney version of a princess from the 1960s.
Mm-hmm. They've what? It's, I mean, it's like a mom or a maid or, exactly. Mm-hmm. Based on these posts, that's just the vibe I'm getting.
Right. And I will say, like, it's not all like that. We've talked about many things. I just read one about a man who wanted to make his own birthday cake. She got upset. And there was this whole, like, in-between line. And she was absolutely in the wrong. But, like, there are other conversations that are had that you're like, okay, huge red flags. At least human decency seems to be central in many of the followers and commenters.
Yeah. That's good. I'm happy to hear that. And just some brief, like, wrapping up comments, because, you know, we focused on a lot of the grim stuff. But, you know, there's a lot of really great stuff about Reddit. It really is. And this misogyny that we have been talking about harms everyone. And Reddit has, in, like, cases like this, perhaps shown a light on it. And it impacts how women and non-binary folks interact or don't on this platform. It influences other offline behavior. But yeah, it is not all bad at all.
Right. And as in fact, when you read through some of the statistics, it, again, the C is not great, higher than other platforms. That's really disconcerting in itself. But a lot of it also has found homes for communities that are really, really genuinely great. We talked about the aunties helping people in the anti-abortion things that are happening in the U.S. And we've talked about that this is such a great idea. Again, a lot of these good intentions can be harmful, so you have to be careful with that. But a lot of these also come together, like with the voting things, they've had conversations about trying to link people in order to get the right access, the right communications. So Reddit can be an amazing thing. Again, great dog videos, great contagious laughter videos, other things that I'm like, oh God, I'd never want to see that again. And why?
Yeah.
But yes. It's, I feel like it does really well. Maybe I'm wrong. Again, I'm not very good into... I'm not very into Reddit and the platform in itself. I'm hovering around all around it, apparently. It's outside of it. But you do see that the moderators who are there seem to do a good job in making sure the community stays with it in its boundaries. So they will quickly take things off and or pause things or lock things down. I feel like they have better access to that than I've seen other social media platforms.
Yeah, yeah, which has its pluses and minuses. But I think when it works, it's great. And also, just there's some hilarious stuff that you could find. Very eccentric, eclectic stuff on Reddit. And I know, like, we talked about in our Being Raised by a Parent with Narcissism, there's, like, a great Reddit source for that. And a lot of you have written in about that and how it helped you and you found community that way. And there are some great feminist subreddits, r/feminism, r/2chromosomes, which forbids transphobic rhetoric, r/allwomen, r/blackladies, r/asian2x, r/dosexlatinas, r/sexpositive, r/askfeminist, and r/radicalqueers. And I probably didn't have to say all the r/s before those, but here I went. Often r suggested, and thanks to Bitch Media for that list. And it can be a great place to learn and connect and grow when it comes to intersectional feminism. And it's important because a lot of people get their news from the site, which we have to keep in mind. And it shapes internet conversations and understanding the world, especially for younger folks. So there are these bad things, but there are these good things too. And I would love for anybody who uses Reddit, if you have any insights you would like to offer, if you're a mod, let us know. If you have any favorite subreddits that we should check out or that you recommend, that would be great. I do really love, like, when my friend Katie told me there was one about hating onions, I was just like, of course there is. I love it.
Of course there is.
Of course. Yes, you can send those to us at our email, which is stephanieandmomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter @momstuffpodcast or on Instagram @stuffonevertoldyou. Thanks, as always, to our super producer, Christina.
Thank you.
And thanks to you for listening. Stuff on Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com. Shop now on TomboyX.com.
Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox